Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.
Hi there, this is Shell Broadnax with Stager Talk. Thank you for joining us today. My guest on today's show is Todd McAllister, one of my favorite people up in Oregon, and he's going to talk to us today about day-to-day staging tips and tricks, warehousing, and buying wholesale. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here with you, Shell.
I'm very excited about this. I've watched you, I think probably over the last year or so, a lot of social media presence you've got going on with your staging tips and tricks, your hacks, your pictures of your warehouse, and all the neat things that you do to make your life better. I love them.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I think, you know, when I started 12 years ago, Risa, Facebook, social media, it didn't exist. So I think anybody that kind of started a business, you know, maybe a staging business, you're all just kind of felt like you were alone and just kind of floating around and doing your thing and, you know, just going along. So if there are things that, you know, being in the business 12 years can help someone else, you know, if they've been in business 5 years, you know, or 10 years or just starting out, I think we can all learn from each other. And I continue to still learn from people, even people that are just starting out. You know, they'll give a tip or something. I'm like, oh, you know, I never thought about that. And so, I'm just a huge believer in being able to give back and help, you know, help others in the industry as we all kind of progress and go along. And, I believe in helping others and making the industry better. So if I can do so with my tips, then so be it.
Well, I think you definitely do that. I mean, the pictures that you show online are everything from how to store the artwork to a pillow container. I don't know, do you call that, a container? What is it?
We call it the pillow tower.
The pillow tower, there you go.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, you know, we are in a visual business, and I find that, you know, people learn best visually. And so, if you tell someone something and then you show it to them and you can kind of show them maybe how it was created or constructed, then hopefully, depending on whatever size of business they are, if they're just starting out or have a large warehouse or medium warehouse or whatever size, that they can take that and adapt whatever it is to operating, you know, their business and hopefully operating it more successfully and more, you know, in an organized fashion. Because when we started the business out, you know, it kind of just started by accident, and it just kind of took off, and we never really had time to do things like this. So, you know, like a lot of people, you just run out the door and you work out of a pile, you know, you work out of a pile of furniture. And it's taken us a long time to get to the size we are and to have some of these systems in place. And I think that as a business, you know, I think particularly maybe in a staging business, your business always needs to kind of evolve and move. And you start these systems and you think, oh, this is working, and then you find another way to make that system work better. So I think that it's kind of an organism, the business is, that it's got to progress and move along in order to be successful. And if you get stuck, you know, and we do get stuck at times, but I think you've just got to just keep going to propel the business forward, because this is an industry of constant change, and you've kind of got to change with it.
Yeah, I agree. So let's go back 12 years. Tell us what you did before you became a professional real estate stager.
So prior to this, I've kind of always had a creative background. I kind of grew up, my parents owned, you know, investment properties and things growing up, so I was always kind of involved with that with them. And then I went to college and thought, you know, I wanted to be a business major like my brother, and turned out that wasn't the fit for me. So I got a kind of a dual degree in advertising and graphic design, and went to work for a comic book publisher out of college for about 9 years, and then couldn't really go any further, so I found out about an opportunity to do visual merchandising at Nordstrom. So I was there for quite a while and enjoyed that until I inherited a boss who was bipolar and decided that...
Gotta love those.
You gotta love it. So, you know, I took off and left on good terms. And, you know, I'm a huge believer that everything in the world happens for a reason, and she was probably put in my life to kick me out the door to do something, you know, and I really wasn't sure what it was, but the whole staging thing kind of, for me, happened purely by accident and probably by chance a little bit, and it just, it's been basically a business built on an accident.
Serendipity, I love that.
You know, and it's just, I look back at it sometimes and just wonder, and I think, you know, how did we get where we are? And a lot of it is, I think, the people you surround yourself with. And I kind of, you know, inherited a business partner. We were friends before that. And I think at one point Barbara Corcoran talked about, a container and an expander. And
right.
Alan and
she
I
did.
Are definitely, he's the expander of the business, I'm the container. And I think it takes that if you're going to have any type of partnership at all, you need those two personalities to make it happen. And, you know, most creative people are awful at doing bookwork things, you know, or billing and things that aren't creative because our brains are not lined up to do that. So, you know, it's... You know, been a great marriage for us, so to speak. He takes care of the business, and I do a lot of the design work. And we do, you know, on the way to work every morning, he comes in from his house, and I come in from my house, and we have morning chats about things that, you know, where we want to take the business or, you know, problems we've had and things like that. But I still grapple, even after 12 years of this kind of craziness, I do grapple with trying to let go. And that's something that Alan has taught me. He came with years of business in the video rental world. And he said, you know, you've got to just let things go. And you can't be, you know, everything to everyone. And I think, you know, all business owners, especially people that are creative, have started their own businesses. They they're controllers, so to speak. And it's hard to let that go. But
yeah, I couldn't agree more.
You know, it's hard, and everyone's in it a different place. And even after 12 years, I still have my moments of trying to let go. But you've just got to pick and figure out what you're best at and delegate the stuff that you don't like. And your business, you know, it's probably not going to start to flourish right away, but you're going to be on your way to creating whatever business you want.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about some of your staging tips and tricks. So your presentation at RisaCon this year, you're going to talk about the staging tips and tricks and also warehousing and buying wholesale. So we touched a little bit. You've got a warehouse. Well, let's start with mm-hmm. that. How big is your warehouse today?
So today our warehouse is about a little bit over 25,000 square feet, and it's actually on two levels. So when we, you know, rented our warehouse space, we started with about 10 on one floor and realized, you know, pretty quickly that we were going to outgrow the space. So we were able to rent the space below us, which is about another 15,000 square feet. So, you know, like everybody, I mean, we don't work in the optimum environment, but, you know, we're making it work for us. So, yeah, we're about 25,000 square feet today.
That's just incredible. It's just amazing when I see everything online. So over all these years that you've been expanding your warehouse, you've come up with these little tips and tricks.
Yeah.
We're going to get that down before the end of today for sure. So what are your top three? Let's give your top three tips and tricks for warehouse storage.
I would say probably the top three. Number one would be organizing your warehouse vertically as much as you can. You know, no matter what size. I mean, we started out with about a 900-square-foot space and, you know, just grew it over the years. And people pay for all that, you know, vertical space, and they use one level of it. And I think, you know, in order to maximize your storage facility, you know, if you have 5,000 square foot of floor space and you go vertically, you can basically make that 10,000 square feet by, you know, going as high as you can. And you kind of got to know, you know, what your fire department regulations are in town, because, you know, they do, you know, come in and monitor that for fire reasons. But I think the number one is people, you know, I look at posts on Facebook and social media, and people are working out of a pile of furniture. And I'm thinking, you know, you've got to invest. And I think my number two thing would be, you know, kind of going into that, is invest in infrastructure of your business. You know, it's, you know, not anything that is wildly exciting, but, and it's kind of financially painful because you don't get a real reward off of it, but how you do reward later on is efficiency in running your business. So, you know, I would think number one would be vertical space, number two would be infrastructure, and then I would probably say my third tip would probably be is just, you know, get a space that works for you, but then allow for growth. Because a lot of people, you know, they move from multiple storage spaces into one, and you kind of have to figure out and say, you know, if you've got 3,000 square feet of space spread around in, you know, 1,000 square foot spots, I would suggest, you know, getting something that's 5,000 to 6,000 square feet, because you're going to grow and your business is going to continue to grow. So, but at the same time, you've got to kind of find something that's going to financially work for you, because you don't, you know, ever want to put yourself in financial peril over your business. But I don't think a lot of people think about the growth of their business. And, you know, the staging industry is still relatively young. I mean, I think, you know, in San Francisco and L.A. and probably New York, those are probably the early adapters of staging. But even here in Portland, I think, you know, maybe 20% of the market actually stages. So there is a huge amount of growth for everybody. So I would suggest, you know, when you're moving up in size, account for growth.
Great. Definitely good advice. And I always think, too, with your goals, anything that type of goal that you're going to set for yourself, set it slightly higher than what you think is really realistically attainable. And it really does propel you, and people are surprised when they exceed their actual goal when they set them that way. And the space is no different. So like you said, if you really need three, go for five or six, because you're going to grow into that. And the other thing that I'm a big firm believer of the law of attraction, as you talked a little bit about earlier. Things happen for reasons, and the universe puts things in front of you for a reason. And that whole build it and they will come. If you go out and you're worried about it, if it's a risk and it makes you a little bit uncomfortable, I say that's when you know it's the right move to make. It's when it's complete dread that you really know there's no humanly way possible to make it work. That's something you want to take another look at. But if it's slightly scary with a little bit of risk to it, I say go for it.
Well, and I think you touched on something important there, and that's what Alan always is kind of used as a motto. It's like, you know, you got to scare yourself a little bit into growth. And, you know, I think, like you say, that fear a little bit is great. It's like when your stomach kind of gets in knots a little bit. I think that's the best feeling in the world.
It is. It is.
You know, it's like it's exciting and scary all at one time.
Right, and people seem to think that's like their inner self saying, oh, don't do it, beware. And I'm sitting there going, no, that's the signal when you should jump on it. Make that happen, because I can't even stress it enough. As a business coach, I talk to people all day long about when you get in that position, pull the trigger. I call it making a power move. And a lot of people operate in their business off of what I call triage mode, where you're just triaging things as they come to you. You're just hitting the ball as it's pitched to you, and you're not doing any forward motion. You're not doing any growth. So with everything that you're going to talk about at GreaseCon, it's going to lead into that growth and teach people how to make those big power moves. So when somebody's looking at a warehouse, are there certain things that they should consider about the warehouse other than just the size?
Oh, yeah. I mean, our first warehouse of any size, we just had a grade level door, and we worked out of that environment for about 7 or 8 years. And, you know, it's not the optimum. I mean, once you have worked in that environment and then you have an actual loading dock, it's kind of life-changing. You know, rather than loading furniture up into a truck all the time, you just actually walk onto the truck. And so it's one of those things that you really, really don't appreciate, I don't think, until you've actually had one. And it just helps speed things up more. And I would say, you know, if you can get two loading docks, that's even better, depending on the space. Because right now we have one where we're working out of, and it's a constant bottleneck. So we've learned to adjust over the years, but, you know, having two would be better, or having three would be better because of the volume that we do. So I think, you know, a loading dock is key, and I think, you know, depending upon what type, you know, what area of the country you're in, heat is really a good thing to have in the Northwest. It rains a lot. So, you know, we have heaters and things, but I would think in, you know, the Southwest where you barbecue, maybe air conditioning would be a great thing to have. So I think just regionally you kind of need to know, you know, what's going on with your climate and things. And I also, you know, think too that since staging in general is not a location-driven business, like, you know, for the most part, stagers don't have the public come to them, so your warehouse can be anywhere. So, you know, Alan, you know, luckily he is great at sourcing things, and you've got to think out of the box. And we are not in, you know, the easiest spot to find, but we're a warehouse. So, you know, if you can think out of the box and think, you know, put yourself in an area that's desirable for you to work out of, you know, central, but you can save a lot of money if you search some of those, you know, unusual spaces for your warehouse location. So,
right.
You know, I think it's amazing what you can do, you know, if you just search a little bit.
All right, well, we're about halfway through right now, Todd. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and then maybe you can tell us the types of commercial agents, maybe experience, things like that of the agents that are going to help you find that commercial space. So stay tuned for a quick commercial.
Perfect.
Working with Court Furniture Rental makes sense for home stagers in a number of ways. A wide variety of furniture selection, delivery in as little as 48 hours, professional installation, no warehousing, repairing or cleaning, and flexible lease terms. By teaming up with Court, you can focus on the bigger vision and spend less time installing furniture. If you are a professional home stager, contact us today for your furniture needs. Be sure to let us know if you are a RESA member and receive a 10% discount. For more information about partnering with Court, call 888-360-3680.
Which is insurance and what else?
Okay, great. There's a great message from our sponsor, Court Furniture Rental. So, Todd, we were talking about the warehousing and the space and the type of space that you get and some of the things that people are going to want to consider, like a loading dock, climate control, depending on where, you know, to fit whatever needs you happen to be wherever in the country. What type of agent? Is it just a regular commercial agent that helps you find this, or is there a certain type of agent skill set that you want to look for?
You know, I think for the most part, you could just use any kind of commercial agent that's in your area that specializes, you know, in you know, warehouse spaces. I mean, warehouse spaces are going to be different than kind of office space. So, you know, and you kind of want to find a warehouse that has the least amount of office space attached to it, because you are, you know, charged a different rate than, you know, warehouse space. So, you know, a lot of times office space is calculated at double the rate that warehouse space is. So, you know, if you can find a spot with the smallest office that's going to function for you, then you're going to be better off. But a couple places that I know that, you know, we look at is a place called Office Space here in the Portland area. And another one that I think is another large commercial is kind of Norris Beggs and Simpson, I believe, is one that's, you know, across the country. And I think another popular place is called LoopNet. So, you know, between those three, and you kind of just got to know, too, what commercial rates are going for in your area, because, you know, one place might be, and everything is calculated by the square foot. So you kind of want to know, you know, if one area might be 43 cents a square foot in your area, maybe shop it around and maybe you'll find something that's 30 cents a square foot. So, you know, every building is going to have different amenities and things like that. So you just kind of got to figure out where you're going to get your biggest bang for your buck. But you definitely kind of want to have, unless you want to, you know, a storefront attached with your business, then you would look at something different. But, you know, for us, we've got about an 800 square foot office where we're at right now, and we function out of that pretty well.
Well, that's good to know. And plus, when you have space like that, you can, I know the commercial industry for office space or for warehouse space, you can build something in there as well, could you not? I mean, you could build a little office area, and they're stagers. You're going to be able to just move everything into a corner and set yourself up for an office.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times, too, landlords will sometimes do tenant improvements for you, so they, you know, you can negotiate. Just because your warehouse space doesn't have an office, you can negotiate in that process them to build a small office and whatever you need. Like, we had air conditioning added to ours because our office gets quite hot in the summertime, but you can have them add a bathroom. It's like, you know, you don't know what they're going to add until they say no. So it's always best, I think, just to ask for everything you need in a space and then find out what they're willing to do. And a lot of times, you know, if a space is undesirable for a lot of people and it's been on the market for quite a long time, they're more willing to negotiate with you to get that space filled because, you know, they're losing money on that every month. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of like the same principle of buying a house. You know, it's got most of the bells and whistles, and you learn to compromise here and there, but it never hurts to ask what, you know, what they'll do. And I think a lot of them do expect a negotiation somewhat. So, yeah, it's like buying a house or buying a car.
Right. So when you first started in the staging business, did you decide immediately to own your own inventory and have a warehouse, or did you rent in the beginning and then make the decision to switch over?
You know, we started from the very beginning owning our own inventory. And, you know, I started the business out basically using my living room and dining room furniture. So, you know, since Alan has a rental background and, you know, we kind of consider every item we have as a source of income. So for us, it's never really been an option of renting furniture, you know, at all, because we want to get the largest bang and, you know, streams of income from things. So, you know, it's you know, owning an inventory, it's a completely different ball of wax. I mean, it, you know, it has its pitfalls and it has its rewards like anything, but, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's not for everyone. And I know a lot of people run a very successful staging business out of renting their furniture. But I do know that people that have kind of recently transitioned over from renting to owning are starting to see the rewards of it. So, you know, I think it just depends on, you know, how profitable you want your business to be, because you do get quite a bit of income off of renting your furniture, and we get quite a bit. I mean, some months, that is our number one source of income that keeps us going a month. So, you know, it's like you either pay the rental companies or, you know, you pay yourself. So, it's, like you say, I don't think there's a right or wrong. But it just depends on, I think, you know, there's a certain risk involved in it too. But, you know, when the economy went south, what kept us afloat was selling our inventory. So, you know, I'm thankful for, in that respect, very thankful for that. So, like you say, we've owned from the beginning.
Well, that's awesome. I think one thing I was shocked, I just learned this today, and I don't know why I think, God, why didn't I know this? But you have 21 employees.
Yeah. Yes.
I was just like, shut the front door. I don't know anybody in the staging industry that has 21 employees.
Yeah, well,
and now I'm going to be on a mission to find out if anybody has more. I'm wondering if anybody has more than that. I think you might have the most.
I don't, you know, the employees kind of sneak up on you a little bit, because it's like, you know, a lot of times now it's like I don't do so much staging anymore, as it's more people management, but I'm, you know, still quite a bit involved in the staging aspect of it. But yeah, the employees kind of sneak up on you and you kind of acquire them as you need them. But, you know, some have come and gone and, you know, done their different things, but, you know, it's kind of surprising that we do have 21 people. So, and it's part of just learning to let go and trust that people are, you know, going to do the very best they can for you. You know, employees are going to screw up. Everybody screws up, you know, and you just hope that when they do screw up, you know, you find out what happened and just, you know, move forward. And yeah, I attribute a lot of our size and growth and employees to Alan, because he's got a great vision for growth, and he is a huge kind of risk taker, and it's paid off to where I'm more conservative a little bit. So I think that kind of business personality between us two, we always meet in the middle, and, you know, we always discuss a lot of things. And I think it comes down to, if you're going to have a business partner, you've got to respect them. and, you know, realize that sometimes you might not agree on everything, but at the end of the day, we know that we've got, you know, a kind of an effort here that we are going to make this business succeed. So, you know, and it's taken us 12 years to find employees that actually all get along together, you know, and I think that's key. And once you can find that, and it's not to say that, you know, they don't have little, you know, snippets of attitude or whatever here and there, but to be able to find 21 people that can actually get along for a common goal, it's kind of a great thing.
It is. And you know what? The right people show up, right? I mean, they do show up. And even if it's the right person for 3 months and then they're no longer there, they were right for the 3 months. They showed up for a reason.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about some learning objectives. So if anybody right now is listening and they're on the fence about coming to RisaCon, or they're going to RisaCon and they're thinking about taking your class, what are maybe the top three things that you think they'll be able to walk away with?
You know, I think a lot of the ideas that I'm going to talk about, and some of them I'm going to rehash from last year, because a lot of people I found that wanted to take photos, because my presentation is going to be image-based. So I think people, like you say, we're in the image business, so people learn from images. So I think the ideas can work in any size of space. Doesn't matter if you've got a 10 by 20 square foot space or 5,000 square feet. A lot of the ideas are just thinking out of the box. They don't cost anything. And so I'm not sure if, you know, my presentation is going to be for people just starting out. But, you know, I think it's people that have maybe been in the business, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years, have some type of warehousing space or storage facility, on up to people that are seasoned that, you know, have some type of warehouse. So as far as, you know, tips and tricks and things, I'm a huge believer in you don't have to spend a lot of money sometimes to come up with a good idea. You know, as far as buying wholesale and things like that, it's not going to be for everybody. But the people that do want to, you know, look into buying wholesale inventory, I'm going to have pictures from last year's show a little bit, the Vegas show, so people actually see what a show is like. I mean, there's 30 to 40,000 people at a furniture show in Vegas. And so it's going to kind of give people a reality check to say, you know, when you go, this is what you're going to experience. And I've got pictures of some showrooms and things like that. So, you know, I want that, you know, to be reality for people so that, you know, and it, even after 12 years of doing this, going to the market, it's daunting. It's mentally just tiring, even for me today. And so, you know, I'm going to be just very candid with people and say, you know, take baby steps into doing it. And, you know, go to showrooms that are going to work for whatever your look is. So, I wish, like I said before, I wish I would have had something like Risa when I first started out. So, you know, it'll help people grow and flourish in their business. And, you know, like I say, at the end of the day, if I can help someone do that with some idea or something, then I'm more than willing and happy to share.
Well, I think this is going to be a great class for anybody to take. We're actually at the end of our time. 30 minutes goes by so quickly. Todd, your class is going to be on January 24th from 8:30 to 9:30 session. It's the same time as my class. So, people, you got to choose. It's either Shell or Todd, your choice. How can people reach you, Todd, if there's a listener out there who needs a home staged or an agent that wants to contact you? What's your website?
So our website is onstage, O-N-S-T-A-G-E, hyphen, online, O-N-L-I-N-E.com. And phone number is 503-473-8838. And we're here to help people, you know, and we do get people in other stages that do call and email me about questions and things. And I love it because it's, you know, something like you say, I never had, or a lot of people didn't have starting their business out. So we've had a few tours come through, and we do welcome other stagers, you know, to come and check us out.
Well, I'm so excited, and I'm so glad that you do that. It's, I know one of the things, a lot of the new people getting into the industry think, oh, why would I want to know another stager? Why would I be friends with someone? Or I'm like, why would you not? Are you kidding me? These people are going to help you. And it's really all about everybody just collaborating and sharing and networking and helping each other out. And that's really what the spirit about RisaCon is just helping lift our industry up and bring legitimacy and professionalism. And I thank you, Todd, for doing that every day. We see it online. We look forward to your talk at RisaCon. And everybody else, if you are on the fence about attending RisaCon, please visit the website, risaconvention.com. The agenda is there. We do have some tickets left, but this event will sell out. Do not wait till the last minute. It's January 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time on Stager Talk.
Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.